American Manganese Inc., a company out front in the billion-dollar potential of recycling lithium-ion batteries. The patented Recyclico process is a proven solution, putting American Manganese in a prime position to capture a huge market share of the battery recycling market. Lithium-ion battery recycling has been brought to you by American Manganese Inc., U.S. trading symbol AMYZF, and in Canada, AMY. The preceding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're headed into interstellar, intergalactic, intersolar space to follow the travails of a probe that has a wonderful name, Lucy. Lucy's mission is even more wonderful, but there's an anomaly on board, the solar panel. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, is here to update us on Lucy and the fix that is being conceived by the NASA engineers. Bob, a very good evening to you. What is Lucy's mission?
Lucy's mission is going to go to the Trojan asteroids, which are in Jupiter's orbit, and you have two groups of them, 60 degrees fore and aft the gas giant. And I'm actually not sure whether they're going fore or aft, but they're either way going to go to the cluster of Trojan asteroids. And Lucy will visit about 8 to 12, I forget the number. It's actually going to visit a whole bunch of different asteroids when it does it. It was launched a couple of months ago. It's now about 30 million miles from Earth on its outward coast, heading out towards the Trojans in Jupiter orbit. When it launched, it deployed its solar arrays, and these solar arrays opened kind of like a Chinese fan. This is where they were designed. One of them, though, did not completely open, did not open and latch into position. So imagine you've got a Chinese fan you're going to unfurl into a circle, and it doesn't quite make it to the full 360 degrees. And so they've been trying to figure out whether or not they can get it to unfurl the full amount. And they've been very careful. They haven't done anything in specific. They're now doing ground tests with a duplicate solar array motor to see if operating in different configurations can maybe guarantee this will work, that the panel will open up all the way and click into place. But they haven't done anything yet. They're now targeting an April attempt for deploying the rest of the panel. They should note that what they say right now is that the spacecraft is getting, quote, ample power, quote, unquote, quote, for its present operations. It's unclear whether the amount of power, if the panel isn't opened all the way, will be sufficient once they get out near Jupiter, because there's not as much sunlight there. We just don't, they're not clear at this point about that. Earlier, it sounded like they were getting anywhere from 75 to 90% of power from this panel, and the high number would probably be sufficient. So we'll have to wait and see. But either way, they've got a plan, and they're proceeding, John, carefully.
And Bob, this reminds me of that famous story that it was in the movie about Apollo 13, how they game the solution on Earth and go over it and over it and over it before they try it in orbit, or in this case, on the mission. It's a one.
Yeah, and that's pretty standard, John. They usually have a duplicate rover on the ground that they can do things with in worse situations, and this is pretty standard here.
Insight on the surface of Mars. What is Insight, Bob?
Insight was a lander that landed near the equator in a relatively flat area it had two goals. One, it was a failure to get a heat sensor into the ground. The other one was a success to put a seismometer onto the surface to track Mars quakes, earthquakes. And that's been operating for several years. Insight, though, uses a solar panel for power. And it's been losing the ability to gather power steadily since it landed, because dust has been settling on the panel. And it has been unfortunately unlucky. No dust devil has come by to blow the sand off. Well, there was a dust storm over InSight in the last couple of months. It actually, last few weeks, actually, and it put it into safe mode. And it went into safe mode on January 7th, and they lost all contact with the lander until 3 days later, on the 10th of January. And they're finding the power is holding steady, though it's very low. And so it's not, they have to have some power operating on the lander, or it will freeze and not work anymore. That's what happened to Opportunity. A dust storm hit, and after a dozen years operating, it didn't get enough power to keep it from freezing, and it died. And so that's the situation. The InSight is still operating, but they can do no science. And they're hoping in the next week or so to resume limited science operations. I have to point out, though, that the amount of power they were getting from the solar panel over the last year was extremely low, much lower than when they landed. And they had pretty much shut down all science operations except the seismometer to register earthquakes. I'm not sure they're going to be able to get this going again. And it could be we're getting very close to the time when InSight will be shut down entirely.
And it just occurred to me, Bob, this is cool to talk about robots. It's like the anthropology of robots. We're checking in on them. So let's go to the robot Curiosity and robot Curiosity's wheels. What have you learned?
Well, they just posted today from the Roar Images images of the wheels. They take surveys of the wheels periodically to see how Curiosity's wheels are faring as it travels across Mars. Earlier in the mission, about, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, they discovered that the wheels were getting damaged much faster than was expected. And so since then, they have been extremely careful how they use the wheel. They've even provided new software to try to make the rover calculate its route much more carefully. And they then take pictures periodically. Well, the last time they took pictures was around 6 months ago. And or at least the last time I posted any pictures, they might have done it in between. But this week they posted new pictures, and there's one particular wheel that I always use as a baseline because I've been tracking that wheel and the damage on it since 2017. And so I posted on Behind the Black a before and after images of that wheel from 6 months ago and then from this week. And then I mark it up, so annotated, so you can see how to compare. And it appears over the last 5-6 months, there's been almost no new damage. And this is during a period when Curiosity's moved into the mountains and has been going off across incredible, the roughest and rockiest terrain that has ever been traveled by any rover anywhere in the entire solar system. And by Curiosity, it's the worst terrain it's ever done. Every spot is boulders, rocks, stones. There's no smooth ground anymore. And there's been almost no damage. And in fact, this particular wheel, I have a link on the post back to 2017. And if you compare the 2017 picture with this week's picture, there is very little damage over the last 4 years. This is very good news. This really suggests that the rover is going to be able to travel. The wheels are not going to be a serious problem, that they're going to be able to, if they keep treating them carefully, the rover's going to be able to go for as far as it can on Mount Sharp, possibly to the very top of the mountain, John. It's good news.
The dunes of Mars. Now, this is a wonderful topic because I didn't know it existed. What is the debate, Bob, and what have they found at the polls?
Well, okay, dunes on Earth are piles of sand that move and are created by the wind. You know, the wind blows, it piles them up, and then over time, it pushes the top down to the side and the bottom up to the top, and very slowly, a rolling action like a wave, the dune moves across the terrain. On Mars, because of the very thin atmosphere, the bigger the dune, the less likely it moves. And so far, after 7 years, 6.5 years, Martian years, about 13 years on Earth, they have found that the biggest dunes, the very large dunes, don't seem to move at all, or at least if they move, it's extremely slow. The tiny dunes do move, the real small dunes that are like a few, just less than a foot across. They move in many places on Mars. But the mid-sized dunes, they call them mega ripples. These mid-sized dunes, they thought they did not move either, that they were left over from ancient times when the atmosphere was thicker and could move bigger dunes. Well, a new research has found that in the gigantic ring dune sea that surrounds the North Pole of Mars, and it's quite gigantic, these mega ripple mid-sized dunes do move. Some move significant amounts, as much as 30 feet in a year. And what this tells us is several things. One, the atmosphere can move these dunes. Two, these mid-sized dunes are not necessarily left over from ancient times. And three, that Mars is extremely active. It also tells us a lot about the atmosphere at the North Pole. When the carbon dioxide falls as snow, freezes out of the atmosphere in the winter, and then sublimates back into the atmosphere in the summer, that produces enough winds to do this, John. It's kind of interesting.
Onomatopoeia. What was the interstellar object?
Oumuamua, I think. Yeah, but that was the interstellar object that came through the solar system about, 2 years ago?
Yes, yeah, something like that. I remembered it as onomatopoeia, which I think is a musical term. But take us to Oumuamua. Yes.
Oumuamua. Well, anyway, astronomers now have detected an interstellar object moving through a solar system, but not our solar system. They have discovered evidence that an interstellar object zipped past an accretion disk surrounding a binary star some distance away. I don't have the distance right in front of me. And they detected it because as it moved past that accretion disk, which is a protoplanetary accretion disk, this is the disk that will eventually form a solar system or planets, this object disturbed it and pulled material out. And at the end of the stream that it pulled out, they detected a point source. And so they think they have discovered an interstellar object that actually disturbed a distant stellar solar system, John. Very cool.
Just to recover what we didn't achieve when Oumuamua moved through was we didn't get a probe up. And I recall, Bob, there was conversation about getting a probe ready for the next Oumuamua. Is that moving along? Is anybody talking
about it? There's always talk of all these kind of things. There was one paper published that worked out the dynamics that we could launch a probe to Oumuamua even now, but we have to move fast. It would not get there for a decade or so, catch up with it, but it is possible to get a probe to it. Nothing's happening, and so we'll just have to see. I don't think we'll ever really get a good look at an interstellar object moving through our solar system until we have a very robust interplanetary human civilization with lots of spacecraft up there doing stuff and therefore in position to move when necessary.
The dunes of Mars and now the buttes of Mars. What am I looking at, Bob?
I have a very cool image. This is actually a wide shot of a previous cool image. About 2 weeks ago, I showed a picture of the top of a cliff where it was an incredible overhang with slanting layers that just looked like this thing is going to fall down in a minute, and probably if it was on Earth, it would fall down, but in Mars gravity, it doesn't. Well, they posted a wider shot of the same overhang. And this wider shot showed that it wasn't part of a larger cliff. It's actually a butte standing all by itself. And that's just so amazing. I posted it. On Earth, this couldn't stand. And in fact, the rover's trying to creep as close to this as possible. And they see evidence that they don't want to get too close because the rocks on the slopes could conceivably come down on them. And they don't want to hit the rover.
And Bob, my first impression from you posting it the other day was that it looks like the Martian Sphinx. There's a head sticking out quite. But you remind me always that the Martian gravity makes these strange shapes, the light gravity.
Yeah. Exactly.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going from the surface of Mars back to the surface of Earth for Space Engineering. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.